Rebel Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to Who Cares Wins. It's a gloriously sunny day here on the marsh. I'm Jan Mulligan. I've been absent for a couple of weeks, but I'm back. And I'm with Angela. But I had a little, because I'm out of practice, she's yelling from the other room. I had a little technical problem with the music for today. So Angela's busy being a DJ in the green room and she'll be joining us in a moment. We have a very special guest with us today, Kerry Madrick, and Kerry's going to be talking to us all about nutrition and detoxification. That's a long word. Had to practice that one. And all things to do with health and nutrition. So she'll be with us in a moment. But I just want to thank Angela while she's busy doing technical things for holding the fort for the last couple of weeks. I've been traveling, doing some work, doing some relation visiting, watching a lot of American football. I was told to mention that by my cousin. We were on WhatsApp last night communicating, now that I'm back home, about the Super Bowl, and I didn't make it to the end of the game. So if anybody out there was watching the Super Bowl last night and is still feeling a bit jaded this morning, I feel your pain. It was a very good game, but I didn't make it to the end. I just heard the result this morning, so I have it taped. I'm going to go back and watch that. So that's my R&R. Angela's still beaving away out there. She's looking very frantic, but very busy. So I am going to move swiftly onwards to our guest, Kerry Madrick of Kerry's Natural Health Solutions and Vitality Something Formula. I've forgotten the something. Lifestyle, that's the one. It's important matter, wasn't
yes.
it?
The lifestyle bit. The lifestyle.
Welcome, Kerry.
Great. Thanks, Jan and Angela. Thanks very much for having me on the radio today. I really appreciate the time.
You can probably hear Angela calling from the background. She'll be at a microphone soon as she can sort out my faux pas with the music. So, Kerry, welcome to Who Cares Wins.
Thanks.
And now we can detect a slight accent there.
Yes, Zimbabwean originally for my sins.
Uh-huh.
But being in the UK for 14 years, so I'm becoming more British than Zimbabwean. Although on an Irish passport, so things get a bit complicated.
Ooh, that's very complicated.
Yes.
Immigration love you when you come through. So we always start by asking our guests to give us a little bit about their background. So we obviously know that historically Zimbabwean and here for 14 years. But what sort of education or career background have you had before doing what you do today?
Okay, I went to school, as everyone does, hopefully, and got my GCSEs, didn't really know what I wanted to do, fell into kind of being a PA assistant type work, and then ended up actually working for a bank doing financial transactions, which was really interesting and I enjoyed doing. And when we moved over to this country, was something that I did, helping people transfer money back to families, paying for their education and school fees. And it was something that I was just passionate about. I think always helping other people has always been my passion. But with the various regulations and things that came into play, kind of lost my passion, and due to my own health issues and not wanting to kind of become the victim and be on medication my whole life, I went down the natural holistic healing route, trained as a personal trainer, which I have to confess I absolutely hated. I found really, really boring. Well, it wasn't the exercise part, but I think just a lot of people find exercise quite challenging.
Yeah.
And to me, at the end of the day, nutrition is exercise is important, but nutrition is probably 80% of your results. So the nutrition side was important, and that's how I helped get over my health challenges. And so that's what I'm passionate about helping people do.
Right. And are your health challenges something you like to share with the audience, or don't have to if you don't want
Yes, no, absolutely. I was diagnosed with endometriosis and a spastic colon, both of which I was told by my doctor were incurable and that I had to be on medication for the rest of my life. And I went down, luckily I had a friend who was a pharmacist who told me to steer clear of the medication that I'd been prescribed due to the side effects. I took her advice and I looked into herbal remedies, and basically just changing my diet and the effect that that could have on my health. And I'm happy to say I have cured myself of both of them.
Brilliant.
Although technically I'm not allowed to say that because there's no scientific research to prove that.
Your study of one. Exactly. Kerry is conducting her interview today from an upright standing position because she's into health and well-being in a big way and has a standing desk at home. So the effects of your self-treatment are obviously good.
Yes.
Because otherwise you'd feel tired and you'd sluggish and you'd want to sit at every opportunity.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. So, and I think that is the important that people understand that you should be getting out of bed excited every day to face the day, not hitting the snooze button, mm-hmm. not struggling through the day, collapsing on your couch at, you know, 4 or 5 in the evening, exhausted from the day. That's not how we were designed as human beings to exist. And that is the role that nutrition can play. If you eat properly, have the right mindset, and do something that you're passionate about, I truly believe that, you know, you can live the life that we were intended to, which is a life of enjoying your life, having fun, and being 100% healthy.
Excellent. So nutrition's your B. That's yes. your main thrust in life.
Yes.
But we've got several topics we're going to try and cover throughout the show today.
Yes.
And the first one is probably quite apt after Christmas, detoxification.
Yes.
But the positive and the negative effects, what one needs to watch out for.
Okay. So when we're looking at detoxification, I prefer to use the word cleansing. I think detox at the moment has quite a negative role because everybody goes, oh, you've got to detox, you've got to detox. And the thing I think that's important to understand is that we have a toxic overload. Yes, our bodies were designed to detox, and that is where a lot of the argument comes in, that everyone goes, oh, you were designed to detox. There's no need to go through a cleansing protocol. But we were designed to detox as human beings probably before your granny and my granny were born.
Mm-hmm.
And our liver is there. Our liver performs over 500 functions. It's a fantastic organ. But it needs support, and we now, I think the statistics are that most women are putting over 2.5 pounds of chemicals on their face throughout the year, and you look at nicotine patches, why do they work? Because we put them on our skin. Our skin is our biggest organ. It absorbs everything. So mm-hmm. by using toxic, not only face care products, but sprays, the cleaners we use around our homes, even from air pollution. You go into an office that's been newly refurbished, all the furniture, the flooring, everything is giving off toxins. So we just, unfortunately, are in a society where we live with toxic overload. So it is extremely important to help your liver to go through those functions of detoxifying and cleansing. The issues that we face is that the liver needs to go through what I call 3 phases of detoxification. So the first one, it releases the toxins are stored in our fat cells. And yes, our fat cells, for everyone out there, do have a good role to play, because if it wasn't for them, we would probably be dead, because our body would be over toxic. So what happens is, when your body is in toxic overload, it stores the toxins in the fat so that it protects itself. So when we're looking at cleansing, we're looking at releasing the toxins from our fat cells, turning them into a water-soluble form so they can be, you know, got out of the body through different pathways. So through our breathing, urine, feces. So there are those different pathways. So, and it's important that we support the liver through all those phases of making the fat-soluble toxins into water-soluble and then helping them get out of our bodies. A lot of the detox programs, I feel, only support through either one phase, and then they overload the body and you actually become more toxic than you were
right
before you started. So I hope that makes sense. And
yeah,
you know,
and Angela, you came across a study, it was last week, was it?
I mentioned it briefly on the show last week, so if you haven't heard my dulcet tones, then you can obviously go to our website and find the listen again. There was lots of stuff, but obviously remember last month was Love Your Liver, which was the British Liver Trust.
Right.
So I was tweeting the links to their website and also their Twitter handle, because obviously there's lots of information on there. And I just briefly touched on the liver and obviously the organ and what it's designed to do. So I was reading from my yoga books, actually.
Because I think I saw a new article. There was a news article, I think I'm right in saying that liver disease is the third greatest killer in the UK.
Yes.
Which it staggered me. I hadn't really come across that before. You know, you're used to cancer, you're used to heart disease, and I wouldn't have necessarily, if, you know, pop quiz, I don't think I'd have named liver as number 3.
No. I mean, it is amazing. If you look at the, I think it's You can actually type in Love Your Liver and it will come up, or the British Liver Trust, and it will come up. And there's lots of information on there about those stats. Yeah. And it's interesting, as Kerry said, that actually, you know, really looking at how the liver works and understanding what it's doing. Because a lot of people sometimes I've met have associated liver disease or liver problems with
alcohol.
too much alcohol, you're an alcoholic, or, you know, drugs and drug addiction. But actually it's so much more than that. And it was something I just briefly touched that I mentioned last week, that, you know, even if you're taking paracetamol, Lemsips, this time of year, sorry, any brand of
brand,
that you're putting something in, but you've got to think about, you're putting in something that's alien,
yeah,
potentially, to your body. So the liver's got to deal and try and work it out and try and sort it out. And I do think that we often forget, you know, this marvellous machine. I know that the heart is useful. but, you know, if that's still beating and going on, then we do need to think about the other organs there. So, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, sorry, and I just, a really important one to mention there is sugar. We all look at alcohol as being the problem, but there is a high incidence of what we call fatty liver disease because of sugar.
Mm.
Sugar has the same role to play in effectively poisoning the liver as alcohol does. So the liver processes them the same way. So, you know, cutting sugar out is equally as important as all the other nasty additives and
toxins. So no muffins for me.
Well, also though, I was having this debate with somebody who got quite heated about the fact that a lot of the consumer products have gone light. So
yes,
it's fat-free or reduced fat or alternatives.
But they're worse sometimes.
You've got to put something in if you're taking something out.
Yes.
And quite often it's a sugar or a sugar substitute of some form. And this woman will go, nope. I said, well, next time you go to the supermarket,
look at the ingredients. Yes.
If you don't recognise it, that's worrying in itself.
Yeah. If you can't pronounce it,
even more worrying.
Yeah.
So in trying to go the fat is bad route, we've gone sugar is great route, and it's not.
No.
And they're slowly coming around to that as well, aren't they, in marketing now?
Yes, slowly but surely. But the problem is also the fats, is you have to be careful of where your fats come from, and also understanding that if you're eating kind of traditional meats, I say traditional, I mean conventional. A lot of them are toxic. Don't forget that as humans, we store our toxins in our fat. Animals do as well. So if you're eating animals that are reared in a barn, they are injected with growth hormones. We're looking at, I think, chickens from the time they're born to the time that we eat them is now a period of, I think, 4 or 5 weeks, where it used to be.
Terrific, isn't it?
Yeah, it used to be 4 months. Mm. So you know that chicken has been injected with growth hormones. They're living in sheds. They never see the light of day. They're being fed probably genetically modified food.
Sad. It brings tears to my eyes. I just think it's just not the way it should be.
Well, and it's not only that. It's, we're eating toxic animals and they're being treated badly. So it comes from, you know, if we want a sustainable planet, we need to look after ourselves and make sure that the animals that we're eating, if you decide that that's what you want to do, that the animals that you're eating are treated correctly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it does, everything has a role to play, you know, in our health.
So we talked about why detoxing or cleansing is a good idea. Your top tip for approaching that process?
Okay, so my top tips.
Go and see Kerry.
Well, that goes without saying.
I'm going to speak to her later.
Well, yes. Well, I have a program actually, which started yesterday, all about cleansing and detoxing.
Oh, excellent.
But I mean, my top tip would be to have a fresh lemon in warm water every single morning.
Oh, no,
I do that.
Angela does that. Okay.
So Angela's on the right path.
Phew.
So, yeah, that really would be my top tip, that cutting out caffeine and sugar.
Oops.
Yeah, I failed on that one then.
And leafy greens. You know, it's a scary statistic that I think 50% of the British population do not have any fruit or vegetables in their diet.
So. Yeah.
Can I ask a question, miss? Can I ask a question? Coffee.
Yes.
I have a concern that actually is decaf coffee worse because of what's in it?
Yes, because so the thing with coffee is it is one of the most highly sprayed crops. So you're dealing with toxins because they sprayed onto the beans, which when it goes through the process, you are absorbing those toxins. And the other thing is when it goes through the decaf process.
Yeah.
There are systems coming out where they're now using a water-based process of getting the caffeine out, but obviously that's, you know, it's not your everyday regular decaf, but they are using toxins and preservatives to get the caffeine out. So yes, you're better off drinking organic caffeinated coffee.
That's what I thought. That's because I was on decaf for a while. I thought, right. Oh yeah, I'm being good. But actually then started to understand and a few people had said that, you know what they do to get it decaf, and they mentioned all sorts of strange things, and formaldehyde was mentioned at some point.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, maybe I'll just go to having a skinny latte so there's less fat with my milk, but I'm doing the caffeine, but also thinking about what coffee you have.
So back to moderation.
Yes and no. Because the skinny milk, if you're drinking conventional dairy, yes, is better because you don't want the fat. But just remember with the skim milk, they've taken the fat out and they've put sugar in.
So,
Jamie Oliver did a talk on TED Talks, if anyone's interested, and you can search that for sugar. And I think he had a wheelbarrow that basically was overloaded, and that is the sugar that your child will consume between the age of 1 and 5 if they drink conventional dairy because of the amount of sugar. So you're better off drinking full fat organic milk or no milk at all, but that's in a whole other discussion.
I know, we have the rest of the year?
we're scrapping all the other sections, so I just want to get this clear in my head. If I drink conventional milk, I've got the 3 fat levels, full fat, semi, and skimmed.
Yes.
They've all got sugar in?
Yes.
Has the skimmed got more than the semi and the full?
Yes.
Oops.
Yeah, so if you look on the labels.
Right.
Basically, if sugar is in the top 5 ingredients, avoid it.
Right.
And generally, whatever is the first thing is what the highest levels are. And you'll generally find sugar is, I think, second or third.
That's funny.
Labels.
I look at that on all food stuff. Yeah. It never occurred to me to look on milk.
I didn't think about milk. No.
Yeah.
It's just so funny how you get sort of just pulled into something. Oh, yeah, that's healthy. Have a glass of milk. My goodness. I'm going now, folks. I'm going home. I'm going to go and live in a corner and hide. Everything I'm doing is wrong. Well, I had my lemon.
You had your lemon.
Yeah, I'm juicing. Yeah. I had my kale and all that.
Brilliant. So you're on the right track.
Thank you.
So I'm saved. Come back to the lemon in the hot water.
Yeah.
Is it fresh lemon? Can it be bottled lemon?
No, fresh lemon.
Fresh lemon.
Definitely fresh lemon.
I know. I knew.
How did you even ask?
I like the look on her face when you said something wrong.
And the hands on the hips as you say, did you really ask me that question?
Well, she's standing in teacher mode.
Don't say that. My husband tells me all the time, he goes, you're in teacher mode again.
Well, I think teacher mode needs a slight rest from the chat. We're going to try a piece of music.
Yep.
We should be all systems go. Cued me and written me good instructions on this.
Let's hope it works.
We should have, coming up next, all the music tracks today have been chosen by Kerry, and this should be, I'm looking for the name, Something the Sun. What was the sun?
I Hold the Sun.
I Hold the Sun by Niel. Oh, sorry. Angela's even written it down for me. I wasn't looking. So I am going to push one button. Angela's sliding up the other. Here we go.
Life has invited me, I wanna dance. This is the moment, I'm taking a chance. I hold the sun and the moon in my hands. There's nothing to lose. So what if I lose? Life is what I choose.
I'm a DJ, I'm a DJ.
Welcome back to Who Cares Wins.
Guess the job, Channel Radio, guess the job.
Angela has dug me out of a very deep pit. We heard the music and it was the right music.
It will
and
work.
I pushed all the buttons and hopefully you can hear me again.
Yay.
We're talking today with our guest Kerry Madrick, all things health, nutrition, detoxing, the liver, and we've just had a very fascinating conversation in the green room during the break, and we thought maybe we'd share it with you.
Shall we?
Well, maybe not all of it.
No.
I don't think the listeners want to know about those habits of mine.
So before the break, we were talking about how to cleanse, and we touched on the water and the hot lemon and what's in foods that we don't expect to be in foods. And that led Angela to ask a question.
I asked the question, well, now how do I approach it without going into all my anatomy? I, as listeners know, I'm very into my whole food and what's going in and what's happening in my body. And I have noticed that my particular brand of oat cereal, not cereal, but porridge that I eat, a particular brand, that I always used to eat fine. If I eat it now, seems to cause some interesting problems down there. And Kerry, your reply was, well, first of all, that that particular brand may have lots of chemicals and things in it, that maybe I need to look at organic porridge.
Yes.
Real porridge.
Real porridge.
But then you started to tell me about this whole gut
and
leaky gut.
Yeah. So what happens is, and that does lead on from liver, because when we talk about liver detoxification and so the phase one and phase two phases of detox, if they don't happen correctly, what happens is we end up with a situation that we call autotoxicity, where the body starts to release the toxins back into the body. And that can lead to a situation where we have what we call leaky gut. And that's where in throughout your intestines, and you have tight junctions, which are tight villi. And what happens with leaky gut is those villi start to become spaced out, and we end up where our food should be digested almost into a liquid form and absorbed through our cells. It is then being absorbed in particles into our body, into the bloodstream, and your body then recognizes this as a foreign invader and starts to attack your body, and this is what leads to autoimmune conditions. It can also lead to, basically, it's the gluten going in, which is a protein. probably over 50 years ago, most of our wheat and gluten-containing grains only had up to 20 proteins. They now have, in excess of that, partly because of genetically modified food, and we're trying to grow more food in less space and more time, not leaving time for crop rotation. So what happens is the gluten gets into the system. The body then reacts to any protein. So often people who have a gluten intolerance have a lactose intolerance because it's the same protein. And most of our cells, our muscles contain protein, and then the body starts to attack itself. And this is what leads to an autoimmune condition. And then depending on your genes, it would depend on the autoimmune condition you personally ended up with. So it could be anything from fibromyalgia, rheumatoid arthritis to Crohn's. So yes, your genes play a role, but we need to understand that you can switch your genes on or off. You don't necessarily need to suffer from a genetic condition if you watch what you eat.
And that's not my blue jeans.
That's not your blue jeans. So by changing our diet and what we take in, we are changing our genes?
Yes. Well, you're not changing the genes so much as not activating them.
Right.
So if you almost look at them as a switch, if you had, for instance, I have cancer in my family.
Right.
And I'm very aware of that. I have had skin cancer, which I've cured. And I'm very aware of that. So therefore, I am very careful that I possibly have the gene. You can actually have your genes tested so you know that what you are more likely to suffer from something rather than something else. But obviously then it's something that you need to be careful of. If I ate really badly, drank and smoked, I have the chance of switching that gene on. Whereas now I'm ensuring that that gene is never switched on, so I never suffer from it.
Excellent. It's fascinating.
It is amazing. It's just like, as I say, a whole year's show we could just do on nutrition, let alone anything else to do with health and well-being.
Glad, Angela, you're coming across to the dark side of the gluten intolerance.
Yes. Oh, I'm rebelling. It's not going to happen. No, no, no. It's all about my mental approach. You know, it's not an intolerance. It's just I need to. And it could just be for me that because I'm eating a lot better and a lot healthier, that actually my body, and I do believe that my body rejects rubbish.
Yeah.
And actually doesn't tolerate rubbish. And it may well be that I'm having what I think is a healthy breakfast, but actually I need to look at that breakfast is a branded and unfortunate chemically
laden.
That's it. Thank
additives,
you, Kerry.
Preservatives.
You know, and actually that's all that my body's going, I don't want any of that.
Yeah.
Well,
so I need to just go and, need to hike to Scotland and go find some farmer. That's not Scottish either.
No, that's not Scottish either.
Well,
as listeners will know, I have all sorts of intolerances and
not against me though.
I'm not commenting on that. Had 2 weeks of,
of bliss.
I know.
I missed you.
But I, thank you. I should say the same. I will say the same. Two weeks off. I have gluten-free porridge and I tend to do supermarket brand because it's easier to come across and Kerry's given me the look again. But there is one supermarket brand that gives me terrible grief and one that doesn't. And to me, they just should normally, you hear that actually a lot of supermarket brands are come from one factory and then they just change the labels for the supermarkets. But there's obviously a difference. And I looked at the labels and I had not really noticed too much difference. So would I be correct to say it might be how they process it and therefore it doesn't reach an ingredient on the label?
Yeah, the issues with that, firstly, we need to look at the manufacturing laws. So for a food to be labeled gluten-free, it can have less than 20 parts per million of gluten in it for it to be labeled gluten-free. If you have a gluten intolerance, for instance, someone probably as yourself who you know you have a gluten intolerance, you shouldn't be eating anything over than 5 parts per million at the very maximum.
Right.
So that is the issue is unfortunately because we're used to having toast for breakfast, you're diagnosed with a gluten intolerance, you still want to have toast for breakfast. So you go to a gluten-free, what you think is a gluten-free variety, but it's still causing an issue. So it's basically rethinking our breakfast, you know, as in the war, we were eating eggs and bacon for breakfast.
Yeah.
And obviously with a caveat, as always, that they should be organic.
Yes.
You're better off having eggs and bacon for breakfast than you are having a gluten-free, unless it's something that you've made yourself from, say, soaked nuts and seeds. And almond flour, coconut flour, those kind of things, and something that you've made yourself. Those are the issues. The other thing that you're looking at is that it's made in a factory. It's probably transported in trucks that transport gluten grains.
Yeah.
They're not washed and cleaned properly. So when the supposed gluten-free grains are carried, you know, there is all that knock-on effect. It's the same as if you are in a house with a celiac, and that is obviously an autoimmune condition. It's a reaction to gluten. You can never eat gluten. You would need to have two toasters in your house because the contamination is at that level. So,
Well, that certainly explains why some varieties of things I do better with than others, and I couldn't figure out why. So thank you very much.
You're welcome. Always happy to help.
Do remember, if you're out there listening and you'd like to tweet in or you'd like to engage with the conversation on Facebook, then please do. I'm here with all the technology, as always.
She's the master of technology this morning.
Yay. So I'm a techie.
Very organised.
I try to be.
So we've touched on the toxin side of things, but there's a phrase you used earlier. Intestinal health.
Yes.
Sounds awfully serious to me.
Well, it's a difficult one because I often say gut health, but people don't like the word gut for some reason. So it's just, I suppose. And your intestines are basically your whole GI tract from your mouth to your anus. And it is a massive organ and it is an organ kind of all on its own. We have 9 motility waves. So if you think of squeezing a tube of toothpaste and the toothpaste going out, that's what happens in your intestinal tract. And we should have 9 motility waves a day. But due to our modern diets, being on all sorts of things that range from antacids, to painkillers, antibiotics, it's been compromised. The same as if our liver is toxic, your gallbladder is responsible for releasing bile, which helps to activate the motility waves. So as you can see, it is all linked in. Mm. And with intestinal health, that's where we end up seeing leaky gut. We end up seeing overgrowth of the wrong type of bacteria, which then have a knock-on effect, cause autoimmune. Basically, your stomach acid and your intestines, your good bacteria, your first line of defense against diseases and bacteria coming in. So if those are compromised, then you are likely to kind of suffer from colds and flu and get either sick more often, or every time someone around you is sick, you will generally get sick. Yeah.
So in terms of...
I've obviously got quite a strong gut then, haven't I? Because my husband is unfortunately suffering with man flu. And it's the worst kind ever, you know.
Always.
Bless him. I mean, he does have other issues
Ignore
as well.
Your wife.
Yeah. I mean, he
Get
does.
Better soon.
It has attacked him because obviously his immune system is low because of all sorts of other issues, which I won't go into. But I, so far, touch wood, have been lucky that I don't tend to get it. I did joke that I think I might be a carrier. Pass it on to everybody else. So I apologise in advance, Jan and Kerry, if I'm sending it out there.
I haven't been sick in about 4.5 years, so if I get sick after this, I'll definitely be writing to you.
In terms of managing those toxins and the health, we've touched on obviously looking at labels, checking what you're taking in. I'm a big fan of rotation, so I try not to repeat things too often. Do you have an opinion on that?
You mean rotation of food?
Not me, yes. I'm not spinning around the room after I've eaten. Yes. So in other words, if I have bread one day and it will be gluten-free, I will try not to have it the next day. I might even try and go 3 days before I have it again.
Yeah, it depends. I mean, I think, so I don't eat gluten in any shape, form ever. I don't eat any gluten-free foods. All my food is prepared at home, cooked from scratch. I know where everything comes from. Mm-hmm. So yes, I mean, I had spastic colon, which is related to a gut issue. And I did find that if I had bread 2 days in a row, I was really ill. If I had it, you know, every 3 days. But the issue with that is that it takes a period of time for the food to get out of your body. And as one of my mentors, who's a functional nutrition doctor, said, he said, you can't be a little bit pregnant. So therefore, you can't have a little bit of gluten or anything that you shouldn't be eating, because it will build up and build up and build up. And you may not see the results now. I think the statistics are that people who suffer from autoimmune conditions can take up to 14 years before they actually see the symptoms. So you may not think it's affecting you on the outside. But when we look at internal inflammation, which you know, is one of the things that I believe is the cause of any illness or disease. When you have a sore on your arm, it goes red, it gets pussy, and it gets better. That's what's happening inside. You just can't see it. But you having things like headaches, aches and pains, joint aches, you know, any of those range of things up to, you know, things as severe as migraines, those are all indications that something is not right in your body. We don't catch a disease overnight.
No.
It, you know, it happens over a period of time, and that all has a knock-on effect to what's happening over time.
Excellent. It's amazing. I just think the whole body is amazing. What goes on, it's, you know, it is a miracle, first of all, in itself, in how it appears and then grows and forms. But also just the amazing amount of things. It's all going on inside. And I think that's what we often forget.
Yeah.
But it's all going on inside. And just like Kerry said there, if you have a sore on your arm or you have a scratch or a graze, you're very aware of it. People around you are very aware of it. They may treat you differently. They may look after you and care for you differently. But when it's inside and it can't be seen, like a lot of the illnesses that we've talked about this last year, Jan, with mental health, for example, that you can't see it. That's also very hard for others around you to be supportive or to know what to do, perhaps even general practitioners, people that you go and see, because again, it's hard for them, if you can't explain it, for them to actually diagnose
it. Can't see it.
But for you yourself to actually understand what is going on inside.
Yeah.
So maybe we all need to go back to biology lessons.
Or visit Kerry.
Or maybe it's easier. It's easier. Let's go talk to Kerry.
Whatever group Who Cares wins.
We will.
Sign up. Yeah. We'll invade her office.
List. Yeah, definitely.
Well, we've got 1,000 followers at the moment. Can you fit that?
No worries. I think just touching on the point that you brought up, Angela, I think it is important that we take responsibility for our health. You know, I think we're in a situation where we go to the doctor and we're handing over power to somebody else to effectively fix us. But as harsh as it is, we're in the situation we're in because what we're putting in our body. And as you said, the body is phenomenal. When you think of what some people are throwing at their bodies, that they actually are still alive is probably pretty much a miracle, to be honest.
Yes.
So, you know, and I think that is the thing, is we need to take responsibility. You need to take responsibility for your health. We're in a situation where I honestly don't think the NHS is going to be around for much longer. It physically cannot cope. And we need to, as I say, take responsibility, make sure that what you are doing the best that you can, getting the best food that you can, supporting your body and making sure, you know, I know people don't, in the medical world, don't like us to say we have a cure for these diseases, but there are people who are going into remission, who are having, you know, who are curing things. It is happening, whether it's mindset related, nutrition related, it is happening, and we just need to take responsibility for that and our own health.
Yeah. I think that just the three of us in this room, you know, we are a huge, powerful mechanism for actually getting people to realize to take responsibility. So the mindfulness, I talk about that a lot. Kerry's talking about the whole nutritional and the expertise there and the knowledge where things are actually farmed and how they're farmed, you know, going back to that detail. And then obviously Jan fills in all the rest of the blanks with the postures and the ergonomics and the environments and the air that actually, you know, it for me is just going back sometimes to basics and actually just retreating from this, everything we've got so caught up with everything needing to be instant and fast and 100 million miles an hour, and that our lives, you know, all this technology that's come in, we need to live our lives so fast. Technology was supposed to make it easier, but actually all it's done is just added to the to-do list. And
that's
we just feel that we're always on. And I think that there's huge benefits to be gained in not being always on and actually switching off, which is why we joke about, so yes, Jan's been on holiday, good, rather than not having a holiday throughout the year. You know, it's important to stop, to have that downtime. But also, it's not just about the downtime, it's what you're putting in. And that is that wonderful analogy of, you wouldn't think about putting, you know, diesel in a petrol car or petrol in a diesel car. And again, I do believe a lot of people, no fault of their own, but they just take more care over plasma TV screens and PlayStations and the latest gadget, rather than this gadget here that they were given.
Well, we're going to take
end
a break.
End of soapbox.
Time for music.
Before we go to a music break, we've had lots of people retweeting. Thank you again for your wonderful retweets. But also I noticed, hello to Karen. Karen Tolhurst, she's just replied on Twitter saying, super show today. She's listening in to Kerry, giving so much valuable information and health advice for everyone. So thank you, Karen. Where are you? You're in Kent somewhere.
Yeah, Karen lives just down the road from
me. Yay! We have a fan.
We have a fan.
Just the one.
It's brilliant. None.
Thank you, Karen.
All right, so time for music. I'm going to press the buttons again, and hopefully now, another one of Kerry's choices. I was
could
here,
be Karen's too.
Could be Karen's too, you never know. I was here by Lady Antebellum. That's a new one on me. Here we go.
Initials carved in an old oak tree. You wait and see. Maybe I'll write like Twain wrote. Maybe I'll paint like Van Gogh. Cure the common cold. I don't know, but I'm ready to start, 'cause I know in my heart I wanna do something that matters, say something different, something that sets the whole world on its ear. I wanna do something better with the time I've been given, and I wanna try to touch a few hearts in this life, leave nothing left than something that says I was here. Think I'm all talk, you're in for a shock, 'cause it seems too strong, and before too long, maybe I'll compose symphonies, maybe I'll fight for world peace, 'cause I know it's my destiny to leave more than a trace of myself in this place. I wanna do something that matters, say something different, something that sets the whole world on its ear. I wanna do something better with the time I've been given, and I wanna try to touch a few hearts in this life, and leave nothing left than something that says I was here. Something that says I was here. I was here.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to Who Cares Wins with me, Jan Mulligan, and my fantastic co-presenter,
Techie,
Angela Bryce Simpson.
I did have some help from the wonderful Mike Tomsett from Channel Radio, so I can't say that I can claim it all myself.
Thank you, Mike.
But thank you, Mike. And also thank you to all of you wonderful listeners and people that retweet. Do get in touch on Twitter. It's at Cares Wins. We've got the live Twitter feed going along, so thank you for all your shares and your tweets and your favourites. And also we have a Facebook page up, which I'm just going to check. If you want to, on Who Cares Wins Radio Show on Facebook, and give us a comment, say hello, give us a like.
and our guest today, the fascinating and informative and just bring me over with information and setting me right on my...
I want to take her home.
Kerry Madgwick. Thank you, Kerry.
Well, just quickly, I just wanted to say thank you to Jan and Angela for having me on the show and for what you're doing, because I think every Monday, you know, you have an amazing show bringing, you know, these topics to the fore for people so they understand it. Because as you mentioned, you've gone gluten-free, you're not feeling any better, you can't understand why. And it's by having the shows that you're having that people are getting the knowledge and the understanding of what they need, not only through nutrition, you know, through mindfulness, through how you sit at your desk, why you shouldn't be sitting that long. And there's all of those aspects that have a role to play in your health.
So Angela's just stood up. stand up, Kerry, but I need the buttons.
No, you
I'm a bit too tall for the mic.
Your job's a bit too important to me. So I just wanted to say thank you to you both. I think you have a really important role to play, and it's, you know,
thank you very much. Well, we are nearly 2 years old, so and it is all credit to people like yourself, Kerry, who are wanting to be on the show. Fabulous.
So if you're listening and you've got something to share and you'd like to be on the show, please do get in touch.
We do have fun.
We've laughed a bit.
Yeah, and it's not nearly as scary as it seems.
So you've blown three of my myths out of the water today, and you're about to blow another one on the old supplements.
Great conversation we had before the show, wasn't it? So we had
a really good conversation about this, and it is quite a controversial topic at the moment, and I think there are a lot of people out there who are saying you don't need supplements. And it was something that I have to say, for a long time in my nutrition practice, I didn't use supplements, only because I didn't think that I necessarily needed them, and I couldn't find anything that was good enough quality that I would take myself. Mm. But it's the point of that our soil is depleted. Our soil has probably 72% less nutrients than it did before the war because of over-farming. We're not organic farming. We're drawing the nutrients out of the soil, and we're not replacing them. So, you know, all of our food, if you buy organic, is obviously better. If you can, you know, if you have a biodynamic farm near you, which means that they are replenishing the minerals and the nutrients back into the soil, that is obviously ideal. But there's not that many farms available that do that. So, and when you look at the statistics that most people, 50% of the population are not getting any fruit and vegetable, and most people who you talk to go, yay, I've had my five a day, and don't realize that your five a day is a minimum, it's not a maximum. So, because of that, and we see an incidence of autoimmune conditions, all of these things are coming to the fore, and it's because our diets, you know, we're not getting the nutrients we need. Our diets are compromised. Our body is toxic. It's trying to deal with these things. And the liver needs nutrients to help it detoxify. It needs antioxidants. And these are things that we need to top up through supplements. Now, I always advocate food first, but it's not always easy. You know, some people are not always able to afford all organic 100% of the time. So I think taking a good multivitamin and mineral, we need to take omega-3s. They're very important to nourish our whole bodies. They bring down the inflammation in our bodies, and a good source of antioxidants, which we're not necessarily getting through our food. And the thing with choosing supplements is the same as your food. You need to read the labels. A lot of supplements have a lot of fillers and ingredients in them, which can cause more harm than good at the end of the day. So you could be, for instance, people take, and I probably, let me skirt around this a bit. people take fizzy tablets that supposedly give them energy.
Right.
And how many people do you know who are actually getting energy from those tablets? None of them. Yet 6 months later, they're still taking them and they're not seeing the benefits. It's because there are additives and fillers and there are other things that are causing problems. So it's important to make sure that your supplements are from an organic and food source. A lot of the supplements that we buy are synthetic. Once again, the body doesn't recognize them. Therefore, they're toxic to the liver. So when it comes to your supplements, you may not need to take a whole variety of supplements, but I would recommend at least a multivitamin and mineral for probably 90% of the population, to be honest. And as I say, once again, it's making sure you do your research, that it is from, you know, a source. And even down to the fact that the radiation levels are checked, you know, the soil that because everything's grown, the soil could be in it, and it's the same as we were talking about the gluten-free. Mm-hmm. Is it 100% gluten-free, or is it just the manufacturing guidelines? Mm-hmm.
And also that note on something I mentioned on last week's show, and it's great to have Kerry here to sort of almost dive into it in more depth about, can we overdose on vitamins? So if I took a multivitamin, is there this danger that, you know, if I have too much vitamin A, it then, you know, has an effect on a different vitamin in my body, and so it stops the body absorbing it?
So you can end up with an imbalance, but the thing again with the supplement quality is if you're taking a good quality supplement, it is designed to work synergistically, so you won't be overdosed. I know there's a big thing about vitamin A, and obviously depending on what part of the population you're in, so for people who are pregnant, you know, there are other issues to establish.
Yeah.
But for most people, you're going to have to take an awful lot of supplements for you to overdose. So if you're taking a multivitamin and mineral, it's normally one twice a day. You're certainly not going to overdose on that. Your body will get rid of any excess nutrients it doesn't need. For instance, vitamin C, I always recommend to my clients, particularly if they have a cold or a virus, to take anything up to 6,000 milligrams a day. And, you know, anything that is in excess of that will be excreted. The same as magnesium. You may end up with a looser stool, which just means that you're taking too much, and you know to cut your dose down. So it's, you know, taking things like that into consideration.
Mm. Okay. Now, lots of high street offers, you know, you get 2-for-1 on certain vitamins, and so cost attracts people.
Yes.
Are we talking much more cost for the type of supplements that you're talking about?
No, I mean, the supplements that I do, and it is a company that I investigated thoroughly before I signed up with them and used their supplements. They are the only supplements that I use myself. I recommend them to my clients and my family. They will start doing actual clinical trials. So to me, you know, I had the lady who came out from the States who does their quality control. She literally blew me away, and I'm a bit of a geek when it comes to making sure that there's no toxins and additives and fillers. I think I've gone off track and we were talking about cost wise.
Yeah.
So the multivitamin and mineral that we do, cost for cost, the most popular brand of multivitamins and minerals, it's cheaper. I hate the word cheap because I think, you know, you get what you pay for. Mm-hmm. But cost-wise, it is more cost-effective, and you're getting what you need. You're not getting the additives and fillers, and no wasted. So actually, instead of taking the money and effectively flushing it down the toilet, you are actually getting the benefits from
it. Excellent. Well, I'm just been blown away myself today. I've learnt so much.
Mm,
I know
thank
I could
you,
learn.
Kerry.
If we could lock her in and keep her here for another week, we
yeah,
could
I'm
learn so
put
much
in my handbag.
More. But we are quickly
along
running
with those huskies
time.
Out there.
Oh, we haven't had time. We'll talk
I
about
know,
it.
I know. Time for the huskies. We'll post photos about that.
We will obviously post Kerry's contact details everywhere we can. But just very quickly, if you want to contact Kerry, the website to look for is www.vitalitylifestyleformula.com and her Twitter handle KerryM212. But we'll post all of those. Thank you so much for joining us today, Kerry.
Thank you both once again. It's been
I've
really enjoyed it.
And great.
Yeah, I was feeling a bit nervous, but you both really put me at ease and been fantastic. So
Yay.
Thank you.
Now you have 3 workshops coming up.
Yes.
Can you tell us about those 3 workshops in a minute?
Right. Okay.
I can.
I've got my pen. I'm coming.
Okay, so the 26th of February and the 5th of March, they're workshops, free workshops in London. They are aimed more at fitness professionals, anyone who's in the health and wellness industry. But if you're interested in health, you can certainly come along. And then there's one on the 17th of March in Nottingham.
Right.
But contact me, my email address, or through Twitter. And I can send you the details. Registration, they are free. Just
free.
For me to add that. Free
we like
workshops.
The word, they're free.
Yes.
FRW.
Yeah. So definitely worth coming along to. And, you know, if you think I have a wealth of knowledge, the people who are running the workshops, my colleagues, you know, have as much information, if not more. And we all cover different topics. So
excellent.
I couldn't recommend them highly enough. So.
Well, we will be posting about those. I'm going to pass Kerry now. piece of paper and a pen so she can put the dates down so we can get those to you.
Yeah, we'll get those up there. I'm away for both, unfortunately.
Oh. Yeah.
So, yes, but hopefully maybe later in the year I can get... I'm just going to kidnap her.
Look at her, yeah. So you have a whole raft of things, Angela. You've been busy being...
There's all sorts of things, but a few things I just wanted to mention as I mentioned it, you know, we're nearly 2 years old in March, which is fabulous. So great thanks to Channel Radio.
Absolutely.
And our supporters are Paul Andrews and Mike, who helps us out with the technical side. But there are also people on Twitter who are just absolutely marvellous. You all are, all our followers. And we're, as I said, we're nearly at 1,000 followers on Twitter, which for me, I think is fantastic.
Yeah.
And one lady in particular, or two people in particular who deserve a mention on our show because they do marvellous things in their own business themselves. One is Sally Laker. If you go and look on the Twitter at Sally Laker, she does some amazing cakes in the shape of, they could be microphones, they could be boots, dogs, cats, houses, a supplement pill. You know, she could do a cake in a form of anything. She's just amazing. And also I wanted to mention Adrian of AK Pet Services, who has actually been on the show, does a lot with collecting your pets and being able to help you out in delivering them to or from the kennels or the vets. And they do retweet us, they promote, they talk, and they're just fabulous sort of supporters of the show, and I wanted to make sure that they got a mention. If not following them, go check them out, please, because they do some fabulous work, but they're also really good supporters of especially in Kent.
Well, we've had Adrian on the show, haven't we? He came on last year.
So
we need a health and wellbeing angle on cakes.
Yeah, maybe, well, I'm sure we could try.
I'm sure there's one there somewhere.
Yeah. I'm sure it's gluten-free lemon drizzle cake. There's something in there. And the other thing I just wanted to mention, if you haven't seen it, and I will share it, because Paul Andrews, who is the host of Business Bunker, which is on now on 2 hours on a Tuesday. Absolutely. On Channel Radio, he has now been given the role of president of the Kent charity, the Kent Deaf Children's Society, which I think is a marvellous thing. And I think you, again, listeners, if you want to go and look at KDCS.org, is all the information about the Kent Deaf Children's Society and the information about Paul Andrews, who's now been made their president. But also, if you are a shopper at Waitrose, or perhaps you could make a change for just this month throughout February, they are Waitrose, and this is UK wide. So even if it's not Kent, it's UK Waitrose. They are supporting that shoppers will be given tokens, and you have three charities to choose from. Put your tokens in either all three or two. And one of the charities is KDCS. So
excellent.
If you want to make a way of just supporting them this month only, get along to Waitrose, maybe do a bit of shopping in there, get your tokens.
You've only got to buy one thing, haven't you?
Yeah.
Box of matches. Buy get your token.
Or something organic,
maybe? Yes.
Okay. Yes.
One carrot.
And the other thing, just very quickly, if I've got time, is Herb's Palsy. Remember we had Juliette Shand on the show last year, even. God, time's flying. And I promised that I would read this out. You've probably seen me retweeting it on Twitter. But they have an event in May. I know it's a bit a way off, but it's maybe get things in your diary. How do you pronounce that? Dystocia? Dystochia?
I'd say dystochia.
Avoidable or fact of life. And they are running a day, and it's lots of speakers, consultant obstetrician, a consultant brachial plexus surgeon, a clinical negligence solicitor, plus other speakers. It's going to be a great opportunity for hands-on experience. And there is £50 to include lunch and refreshments and a certificate of attendance.
Also CPD.
And £25 for student midwives.
Definitely.
So if you want more information about this event, the best place to actually go is to email Ruth, R-U-T-H, at herbspalsygroup.co.uk. I will post this PDF on our Facebook page.
Excellent.
I've actually asked for them to email it to me, all the information. But again, that's our chosen charity that we like to promote about. So if you want a link to their page, it's on our homepage of whocaresradio.co.uk.
So very easy to find. Very quick mention, if you have a visual impairment or know somebody that does, there are lots of Focus Day exhibitions around the country coming up in February, March and into April. And the Maidstone one is on the 26th of February, 9:30 to 11:30 at the Kent Association for the Blind. That's College Road, Maidstone. It's free admission. We like the free ones.
Hey.
So again, we'll post about that if you want to go.
We've had a tweet that's been favourited by a Dr. Price.
Ooh.
Thank you very much, Dr. Price.
Thank you, Dr.
Price's vitamins.
Lovely.
Is he promoting himself? Probably is, but thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
See how Twitter works, this fabulous mechanism.
Yeah. Well, as always, we're running out of time. We're going to tell you very quickly, if I can find my piece of paper, which I've hidden.
Next week's guest, Deborah.
Next week's guest, Deborah, yes. It's on the back of the sheet that I gave to Kerry. So here we go. We met Kerry at the Wellbeing Symposium. That's how she found us and we found her. Yeah. And somebody else we met there was Deborah McNair of Restoring Health Limited.
We played her interview, didn't we?
We did indeed. Another South African. Mm. So they're coming out of the woodwork. Deborah and her colleagues do soft tissue therapy, physiotherapy and exercise prescription. And their practice is in Maidstone, so another local business. And Deborah will be joining us next week.
Brilliant
stuff.
So we
wish everybody a glorious week. Hope you can hunker down and avoid the cold. Keep warm, keep safe. Thank you to Kerry. Thank you to Angela for bailing me out.
Welcome back, Dan.
Thank you. We'll see you next week.
Follow us on Facebook. Got all the info's on Facebook.
We have My Wish by Rascal Flatts. Bye for now.
Bye, everyone.